Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. Well, the blogosphere is full of moms. Blogging went mainstream in the early part of the century. Moms have embraced this new medium with enthusiasm. There are about 4 million mommy blogs out there, and now research shows there are emotional upsides to the practice. Joining me now to talk about the benefits of mommy blogging, Dr. Erin Holmes. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Family Life at Brigham Young University, and she joins me in studio. And Dr. Holmes, thanks so much for being here.
You are welcome. So glad to be here.
Also with us, Karina Hoskison Wataias. I think I got that right. Wataias, a freelance. I just know her as Asukar.
That's right.
A freelance writer and national editor of todaysmama.com. She's been writing The Jet Set, her personal blog, for 9 years, has been blogging for 13. She has 3 kids, 8, 4, and 6 months. She lives in Provo, but she joins us today in studio. And Karina, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
You are welcome to join us if you're a mommy blogger or follow a mommy blog. Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Dr. Holmes, let's start with you and the research. First of all, I know this wasn't your study, but you're familiar with it. How was the study structured?
Well, this is a study of 157 new moms that I worked on with another colleague, Sarah Coyne at BYU, and with one of our students, Brandon McDaniel, who's now getting his PhD at Penn State. So we had 157 new moms, all of whom were transitioning to parenthood, who had just transitioned within the last 6 months. And we were really interested in learning about their blogging and their media use in general. So we found only moms who use the internet regularly. And we just wanted to see how blogging influenced their connection to extended family and friends, and how that connection to extended family and friends would ultimately influence their social support.
Okay, so what did you find?
Mm-hmm. So it does. We looked at social support. So blogging does help moms feel close, feel connected to their extended family and friends. And as a result, they feel social support. And the reason we care so much about social support is that social support influences a mom's parenting stress. It influences the way she perceives her satisfaction with her marriage, but also conflict in her marriage. And transition to parenthood researchers know that becoming a parent can have negative effects on marriage. So we really care about what's going on there between parents. The other thing that matters so much about social support and why blogging matters is that when moms feel socially supported, their stress goes down, and that means their likelihood for depression decreases. So all of us who are worried about postpartum depression, depression setting in as moms are becoming new parents, blogging seems to help that.
Get online.
Yeah, get online.
How did you react to the result? Any surprises in that?
Well, you know, there were debates about what blogging might do for moms. Some people say, of course, blogging is going to help you feel support, help you feel connected to other people. Other people say, yeah, but blogging means moms are online all the time. They aren't necessarily taking care of their family. They aren't taking care of their kids. And when they're online, they're just bombarded by all of this consumerist ideology. And maybe it's going to make them feel worse about themselves. In fact, if they're online, they might be more isolated. So we didn't know. We didn't know what blogging was going to mean. Of course, I'm really happy to find out that blogging is good. So many of my friends have emailed me, so Erin, it's okay that I'm online 2 hours a day doing my blog. And I can validate that.
Dr. Erin Holmes, assistant professor in the Department of Family Life at BYU, also with us. Karina Hoskison Wataias, she's a freelance writer and a blogger. So when you heard the results of this study, Karina, what went through your mind?
Duh.
What got you started blogging? You've been doing this for years.
I have been doing this for years. Well, first of all, I've been online for a very long time, and blogging is just a natural extension for me. I'm a writer. That's what I do for my living. But I wanted a way of being able to write what I wanted to write and not necessarily all of the business content and all of the other things that I was needing to write for my everyday job. And it really did pick up after the birth of my first child. And just being able to have that outlet, that creative outlet, that emotional outlet, and being able to put that not necessarily out there for anyone to read, but just to clear my own psyche, just to get it out there so that I could deal with my emotions from day to day.
How does a blog differ, though, from a diary?
That's a good question. I think with a diary, it's really hard to get people to read your diary. So, I mean, you could take it to the grocery store and hand it to people, but people are really busy. But at least with a blog, when you're writing on a blog, people find you, or you find people. And it just starts out really small, and you build a little community of people that come in and check in on you. It could be friends, and then gradually other people might wander across your blog, and you start building a little bit of community of commenters that come back every day, and you read other people's blogs, and it just begins to lift everybody up.
Hmm. Is that, from an academic perspective, Dr. Holmes, is that the difference between a blog and a diary? A diary is a place where you can purge and get rid of some of that angst, but it's not necessarily a social environment.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're really finding here. I mean, moms who are blogging are telling us that they want to share their personal experiences with other people. So, if you're writing your diary, maybe, your kids will pick up your diary someday and feel a connection to you. That's great. But like Karina said, I mean, there's this whole network of people out there who can find you and who you can find through blogging that just isn't the same through just journaling. And I think that's why that connection to family and friends enhances women's feelings of social support, and why that makes it different. I think writing is great. There's a lot of research in psychology on the importance of just journaling for yourself. I mean, your own sense of efficacy and your own ability to purge and reduce stress. But this seems to be about social connection, not just purging. It might even be why it's so beneficial, because you get the combined impact of both.
Hmm. And I think in this world where people move and they are away from their primary families, from their parents, from their cousins, from their extended, from their local support networks, blogging becomes a way that you can keep in touch with friends and family who have moved across the country, around the world, and keep those connections that are so important for women.
We're talking about mommy blogging and the psychological and social benefits of it. Give us a call if you follow a blog or if you're a blogger yourself. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Well, I see these upsides, but then I think, wow, this is you putting yourself out there in a very personal way, in a very public platform. Did you ever, Karina, have hesitation about being so intensely personal about, your kids are fighting or what to have for dinner or whatever you blog about, cookies?
Yes, I exclusively blog about cookies. So this is great that you guys have me here today. Honestly, it is a push-pull about your privacy. You want to be careful about what you're sharing with people. There's a great deal that I never share. Most of the time it's because it's boring and no one wants to hear about it. But the secondary part is you have to balance the concerns of your privacy and the needs of your family with your desire to express yourself and your need to emotionally download exactly everything that you have doing. I mean, as somebody once said, nobody cares what you have for lunch. Nobody cares about some of those little tiny things every day that you do. But people might care that you're feeling down because they're feeling down as well. Or they might care that you had a great day or something funny happened or some way of sharing. Basically, it's kind of what you would share with an extended group of friends. Not necessarily what you would share with your best friend.
Though. It's so different because anybody in the world could chime in on this conversation.
But that's part of the charm of it, is that you really can reach out to a whole number of people out there that feel the same way you do. And, I've been online now for almost 20 years, and I think the good balances out the bad. Yes, there are terrible elements out there, but there's so much benefit, and there's such a great community of people out there that really do connect with each other and really do lift each other up.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Karina Huskisson Watayas. I'll get this name by the end of the hour.
I married it. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Freelance writer, the writer of The Jet Set, her personal blog, and national editor of todaysmama.com. Also with us, Dr. Erin Holmes, assistant professor in the Department of Family Life at BYU. If you have questions or comments about mommy blogging, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. And let's go to the phones. And Rachel is joining us from Salt Lake City. Rachel, hi.
Hi. I am just curious, what is the average age of the mommy blogger? And where do you see it drop off at a certain age of women that don't blog at all?
That's an interesting question, Rachel. I mean, are you seeing, Dr. Holmes, in your sample, is it new moms? Is it middle-aged folks who are going through the teenage years? What is it?
Well, it's kind of tricky because these are all new moms. So the average age is 27 years old. So I don't really know nationally what the average age of women is who are blogging. But I can tell you that Karina and I are older than 27.
That's right. A little bit.
And we're still blogging. So
thank you.
It's a great question, Rachel.
All right.
I will say that you do see a concentration in those early childbearing years with a natural decline as you get into the late 30s and early 40s. Although there are plenty of women out there that are in their 40s that are blogging, and then later on as grandmothers, there are some bloggers out there. But there is a concentration in your 20s and 30s out there. I think it's simply a function of being more digitally literate, period, versus necessarily an age difference.
Hmm. And who follows your blog? Do you have a sense?
I do. Just being able to look at my statistics, it's more urban. I have concentrations in California, Salt Lake, Texas, basically in those and Washington. Can't forget my Washington people. but it really is women, the majority of women, and the majority are in their 20s, in their mid-30s, and then I have several readers that are a little bit older than that.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, thanks very much for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Dr. Holmes, in your study, did you look at content at all, what people are writing about?
No, we didn't look at content very much. What I can say is that 76% of the moms in our studies read blogs, and 61% were writing their own. But other than the fact that I know that they were writing and reading, a lot of moms were, all I know is they're doing it because they just really want to stay in touch with other people. They want to document their experiences.
In addition to building that social network, is it a form of therapy? Karina, do you find that you feel better after you put something out there?
Yes. It really is something that you can work, and sometimes you don't even know how you're feeling about something until you get it written down and you see it on a page and you see it there and you kind of work through it. And if you have to analyze it before it goes up into a blog post, if you have to say, okay, how am I feeling about this? And you just put it out there. It's absolutely a form of therapy.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Holmes, is that one of the factors that you looked at in your study?
We didn't look at whether or not women called it therapeutic, though, I mean, there's enough literature out there that suggests that just feeling connected to others is therapeutic, particularly for women. In fact, there is some biological research that talks about changes in women's stress hormone levels just through connecting with other people, that there are actually even potential gender differences, that for women, even more than men, that connection they're making when they reach out to others or when others reach out to them actually alters their physiology, helps reduce their stress.
Well, if there's an upside to it, what if nobody reads your blog? Could there be a downside to your sense of self if nobody's reading what you're putting out there?
Well,
Karina?
I can imagine it's possible.
You know what? Every blogger started out there with just themselves and maybe one other person reading it. And it has never, you know, most people do not jump into the blogging world and all of a sudden have 10,000 readers. That just doesn't happen, you know, unless you're Oprah. And even that doesn't really happen. Everybody starts out with just a few core people that are reading it. And it often starts out, I hear this time after time, because of a move, because of some sort of significant life event where people feel like they need to start reaching out and connecting with their people.
Mm. What about social pressure, though? I mean, it is one more thing to do on your list. And as new moms, I mean, you're busy. You're running around. What about content comparing yourself to somebody else who's online? And
look
what
they're
writing about sounds much more exciting than
right.
what I'm
that
writing
That happens.
About.
And I mean, there's an element of, you know, putting a little bit of shellac and putting a little bit of varnish on things to make things shinier and happier. And I really hope that people don't do that. I mean, those kind of blogs are really attractive, especially to new moms who are looking for a way to look at their lives and wish that it was happier. and wish that it was a little bit more fulfilling, because motherhood day to day can be drudgery. It can be real. It's a lot of work. And looking out there and being able to look at a glossy magazine in a form of a blog post is really attractive. But when people start to blog themselves, they have a choice to make of whether they're going to be real or whether they're going to try and put a veneer on it. And some people need to put a veneer on it just to deal with their everyday lives. They need to pick out the best stuff, the most beautiful things that happen to them every day, so that they remember who they are and where they want to be in their lives. And other people need to use blogging so that they can just as an emotional processing unit. So I wouldn't, you know, the comparisons are always going to be out there, but just like every person is an individual, every blog needs to be different.
Karina Hoskison-Watayez, she is national editor of Today's Mama, blogger of the Jet Set. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And Dr. Erin Holmes, assistant professor in the Department of Family Life at BYU. Thanks to you.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW News. Next time, it's Politics Up Close with Jeff Robinson. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.